I'd like to thank Tim Murphy and Alex Peppel for inviting me to participate in the Able Muse Distinguished Performance podcast series. The theme of the reading is simply people, places, and things. Some are taken from my first chapbook, For No Good Reason, and others from my second, All or Nothing. I've tried to include poems that have only appeared in print journals or without audio versions in web-based journals. The first poem is dedicated to Cédrica Provencher, a girl from Trois-Rivières, Quebec, missing since July 2007. The poem was chosen by Timothy Steele as a finalist in the Howard Nemirov Sonnet Award competition in 2008 and was published in Measure in the fall of 2009. Missing, for Cédrica. It started out like any other day. You got up early, telephoned your friends, had breakfast, waved goodbye, then sped away to Parc Chappé, and there your story ends. They found your bike. Some girls described a man who claimed he'd lost his dog the day before. You would have felt his loss, though others ran. It's been so long, they don't search anymore. A wild imagination's unforgiving. Sometimes I almost hope that you are dead. Yet there's the slimmest chance you're somewhere, living. The case is cold, not closed. And so instead of granting sad conclusions long foregone, I leave the door unlocked, the porch light on. The next poem was originally published in 14 by 14 in December 2007 and reprinted in the British journal Orbis in the fall of 2008. It's based on my lifelong affliction. Oneronaut. It's said that lucid dreaming tames recurring nightmares. What the bleep? It's worth a try, like counting sheep. And as I gave my monster's names, the unknown landscape backed off, blurred. I soared across the seven seas, flew past the rising Pleiades, pulled into port and slept. A word, however, of advice, beware. Though humdrum dreams may come to lull the simmering inside your skull, it's merely a device. The bear, the bug, bamboozled, may revive, sniff out the ruse, eat you alive. The next poem on the theme of people was inspired by a group of seniors I observed from time to time over the course of many years. It was published in The Centrifugal Eye in the fall of 2007. The Loiterers. Each morning at exactly 9 o'clock, our fellowship of grizzle-headed men meets at McDonald's, Metro Frontenac. We take our customary seats and then, despite the posted warning, pas de flanage, drink discount coffee for an hour or two. Surrounded by a motley entourage of East End Montrealers, we outdo each other with our lively poppycock. Long since returned from distant neverlands, we turn a deaf ear to the ticking clock. The manager is kind. He understands our joie de vivre, our order of the day, refills our cups, and grants that it's no crime to hold our own, and though we overstay, to squander what we've left of change and time. One of the many jobs I held in my first few years in Canada was in the purchasing department office of Johnson & Johnson. A girl I worked with there, Manon, was a poet as well, and we used to bemoan our lack of time for our mutual vocation. I often wonder how many other Manons there are out there. Lines for Manon. The shop floor foreman hasn't got a clue to where the new employee is coming from. The incense and the ice of Xanadu, the flame and fury of Byzantium. He knows for sure she doesn't give a shit about the piecework in her packing crate. She checks the clock. At 5, she's first to split. It's no damn wonder that she can't make rate. He's noticed, too, the woman can be seen each morning, scribbling in a stenopad, an island in the boisterous canteen. Whatever is eating her, she's got it bad. He's right. Her day job's pretty hard to take with grace and grit, and she won't last too long, demanding honeydew on coffee break. For no good reason, bursting into song. The next 4 poems will be on the theme of places. The first one was first published in the Texas Poetry Journal under the title Wilkes-Barre in the spring of 2006. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, is where I grew up. Susquehanna for Wilkes-Barre. The Susquehanna runs its ancient course, passing by and passing up my town. Being a river, it carries no remorse for flood, for mud, or for the tumble down. Being a river, it has a total lack of reverence for triangles of stars, or for those aged breaker boys with black choked lungs drowning their pain in local bars. And in its rush to reach the Chesapeake, it sweeps to Maryland, it swirls, it pulls, not knowing it was once an upstate creek. The Susquehanna has no truck with fools like me who spurn its blighted brown advice, wavering near its waters, thinking twice. The next poem was inspired by my trekking tour of Patagonia and Tierra del Fuego in 2004 and was originally published in Umbrella in the summer of 2007. Ushuaia. In search of the exotic, I had flown as far as Ushuaia. I would see the penguin and the langa, for I'd grown accustomed to the birch, the chickadee. I crossed the Beagle Channel, met the prince who sails upon the air, immersed my mind in images I trusted would convince myself I'd left the commonplace behind. The Southern Cross at midnight, and the way the Cordillera bears from west to east, how wind and weather shift throughout the day, a poet's fodder at the very least. And yet, in retrospect, what I recall most often when I need the proper noun is not Olivia or Martial, but intimations of a downhill town, a bleak, forsaken prison, silent bogs, a landscape ravaged by the beaver, frail, impromptu housing, countless, scrawny dogs, a monument to the Malvinas, stale, abandoned factories that bear the brunt of empty promises, a roadside shrine to plaster saints, a tourist's waterfront, complete with tourists from the steamship line. Though many miles from home, this land would show that there is really nothing new indeed under the sun, beyond the point of no return, beyond the Calafate seed, beyond all hemispheres, beyond each pole, beyond the boundaries nations call their own. The dogs of Ushuaia hound my soul and gnaw upon it as they would a bone. The next poem was inspired by my trip to Italy in 2001 and by the events of September 11th and was originally published in the Canadian chapter of Poets Against War in 2008. Ruins. I pause to rest beside the temple of Antonius and Faustina. All this stone and sunlight, mingled with the leaden drone of tour guides, the oppressive push and shove of camera-wielding pilgrims, makes me search for sanctuary. And an olive tree, September 12, 2001 AD, provides the hushed asylum of a church. This peaceful corner that the tour left out might tempt another traveler, by and by, to view the forum with a quiet eye and think it something to write home about, as I am doing now, except I scrawl, "Wish I were there," on postcards that portray an artist's sketch of Rome before the fall, its temples shining in the brilliant day. A few years ago, returning home from vacation, my husband and I noticed a small sign along the highway indicating the Frost Place, next exit. New Hampshire Interval. Upon first visiting the Frost Place, Franconia, New Hampshire. He'd just returned from England, heartened, heady. He thought he'd make a go of it. He'd farm and write. This little house was full of charm. His Morris chair stood by the wood stove, ready. But woods and mountains intervened. They pined to cultivate the farmer's friendship, and he asked them in. For though he turned the land, he turned to them when harrowed, undefined, as often was the case. He did not stay for very long. The winters were too rough. And by the second year, he'd had enough. A summer place it would remain. Today, I follow others on the footpath where 9 decades later, one can sense him still, tapping the frosted trees near Sugar Hill and speaking to God about the world's despair. Now for things. This poem was published in Blue Unicorn in October 2005. Fatuity. She stood beside me in the checkout queue last Saturday. She mentally weighed in on items in my shopping cart. I knew her thoughts. It's no small wonder she's not thin like me. Look at that junk food, cookies, chips, that pint of Häagen-Dazs, those salted nuts. She sized me up and down from head to hips and measured both our budgets and our butts. Clairvoyant she was not. Had she but seen us with the scanner's unassuming eye, she might have figured out a lifetime lean and hard. Before I wheeled my week's supply of relish out into the parking lot, I whispered, "Lady, this is all I've got." The next poem is a cento from the works of Emily Dickinson. I had some things. I had some things that I called mine. I asked no other thing. I lost a world the other day. I years had been from home. I thought that nature was enough. I took one draught of life. I watched the moon around the house. I could not drink it sweet. I felt my life with both my hands. I gave myself to him. I could suffice for him, I knew. I think I was enchanted. I was a Phoebe, nothing more. I stepped from plank to plank. I learned at least what home could be. I am alive, I guess. The next poem was published in the Raintown Review in December 2008. Bequeathal. Unlike the lilac bush that knows its spikes will weather winter's snows, I've yet to find the wherewithal to rightly come to terms with fall. In forests full of empty nests, withered boughs, November guests, I seek but find no feathered thing, no green remembrances of spring. All that I have, now summer's gone, are love notes from a lexicon. My gift to you, this fragile bud, inheritance of ink and blood. The final poem is my English translation of Delmira Agustini's La Barca Milagrosa. It appeared in Lucid Rhythms in August 2007, and in essence states my own deep passion for the art of poetry. The Wonderful Boat. Prepare a boat for me, as big as thought, then name her Star, or else Obscurity. The whimsies of the wind and hand must not command a craft as bold and fair as she. She'll move to the pulsation of a heart incarnadine with fierce vitality. She'll make me strong as in the arms of God. Trim to the wind her sails must always be. I'm loading all my sorrow in my boat. With no set course, a lotus flower, I'll float along the vague horizon of the sea. O boat, my soulmate, what uncharted land, what unexpected truths may lie at hand. This life, these dreams shall be the death of me. Thank you for tuning in to this podcast.